Hello there. I'm Tom. I edited today's programme. We're looking at cancer and the link between women who have breast cancer and night shifts. Many doctors believe increasingly that they're linked. There's been a case in Denmark where the government has paid out compensation to women who have developed breast cancer, they say, through their work. So we got lots and lots of calls from all around the world, a lot of call centre people, a lot of nurses. There seems to be one issue, clearly, that what's the choice? We're workers, we've got to work, or it's our career, we've got to do this. So the issue came up with, well, you know, can we mitigate it somehow? There are a few tips for you if you do work on night shifts later in the programme. Wear shades when you go out in the day, in the morning. Try and get some sunlight, that vitamin D. You have dark curtains, those sort of things. But basically, people saying that there's not much choice. We're just going to have to put up with it.
We've had the news from the BBC. Now it's our turn. Call us on country code 44 20 70 83 72 72. Welcome to World Have Your Say.
Hello, I'm Chloe Tilley. Thank you for joining us. The Danish government has set a precedent by paying compensation to women who've developed breast cancer after years of working night shifts. It comes after a UN-backed study found a link, and it's not the first. So what does this mean for the millions of other night workers around the world? Are employers killing you by making you work nights? Counter Bliss on the blog says the problem isn't caused by working at night, it's caused by people ignoring their biological clocks. There would be no problem if you always worked at night and sleep during the day. The solution would actually be to encourage more people to work at night. Matt in Oregon has posted on the blog, he's listening on OPB, if you don't want to work at night because of this study, then get a new job. Today in the US, there are many people who need jobs and would be more than willing to work at night. So would you be willing to take a gamble with your health? What if you got paid more money? And how do you prove cancer was triggered as a result of night shifts and not a genetic predisposition or indeed a lifestyle? You can text, you can email, you can post on the blog, and you can get in touch via Twitter.
If you don't want to make an international call, text us on country code 4477 86 20 60 80 and put call me in your message.
Well, for years, there's been growing evidence that night shifts are bad for you. Among the symptoms, disturbed sleep, fatigue, digestive problems and a greater risk of accidents at work. The Danish authorities acted after findings by the International Agency for Research on Cancer, which is an arm of the UN's World Health Organization. It's concluded that night work raises the risk of cancer to the same level as those working with industrial chemicals. So are employers killing you by making you work nights? You can call us now on country code 44 20 70 83 72 72. You can email us worldhaveyoursay@bbc.com. Well, we can speak to Eric Abuga, who is an events organiser and television producer who's in our Nairobi studio, and also Chantal Hughes, who's a spokesperson for employment, social affairs and equal opportunities at the European Commission. Well, first of all, Eric, thank you for joining us. So you employ people at night. Give us an idea of the sort of work they're going to be doing for you.
Well, we employ a number of people who work mostly at night. We have DJs, we have selectors, we have makeup artists. When we are doing documentaries, some of the shoots that we do on location, they are normally at night because we are able to control the lighting. So we have directors, we have reporters, we have still photographers, and also camera, and sometimes we have researchers because they also have to keep track of what is happening. So,
and Eric, what do you do to try and protect night workers to make sure that you look after their health and well-being?
Well, according to the Kenyan government, we have the Employment Act, which stipulates what are the obligations and responsibility of an employer to ensure safety. But these safety standards are basically general. We've not had a case whereby we have anything specifically tailored to take care of the women who are at the risk of contracting cancer.
So what would you do, Eric? I mean, you've heard this UN-backed report, and let's face it, there have been numerous other reports which have suggested similar. What could you do practically? Because obviously you're running a business, you need to make money. What practically could you do? Could you, for example, say, well, we won't employ women working at night?
I think that will be discriminative in the first place, and there are specific roles for women. So I think what I will do is not to discriminate women because of the fear of going to compensate them or to take care of them. What I think we need to do is, as Kenyan employers, we first need to look at the research findings and then see who are the greater risk. Of course, they are women, but I think the best thing to do will be to know exactly what causes this, because I believe that we have various industries like transport industry. We have women who work in hotels, and we have those who work in chemical industry. So I don't think they are the same level of exposure to the risk. So we need to know exactly, but the responsibility, like the question you were posing earlier, whether the government of the Danish government was justified to pay or to compensate those who risked. I think what could have informed the Danish government to compensate those who may have contracted the cancer would have been that the government has responsibility to protect the citizens. So I think it had not forewarned them that there is a likelihood of contracting cancer. Now that this is a new phenomenon in Kenya, I think the government, through the Ministry of Labour, is going to pick it up, research, authenticate, and then give fresh guidelines on what is to be done.
Okay, because Eric, you say it's new in Kenya, but this is a UN report, it's a worldwide report, and there have been other reports. I just want to bring in a couple of other people into our conversation. In a moment, we'll speak to Shamila, who's in Mumbai. But first, let's speak to Nikki, who's called in from London. Nikki, you work nights, don't you?
That's right. And I also had two colleagues of mine who were diagnosed with cancer in the last 5 years. Both of them working nights. Thankfully, both of them managed to survive. The company has actually helped them during the time that they were going through hospital and treatment and everything. But they have both dropped out of work now because they realized that their safety, their health was not going to improve while they were working nights. I myself do still work nights.
Nikki, do you think it was directly linked to their night work?
Yes, I do. I think it's because, I mean, nobody who hasn't worked nights for as many years as I have realizes what it actually does physically to your body. Having to throw your body clock backwards and forwards is very difficult. I mean, you know, starting on a Sunday night when most people are still, you know, out and, you know, going to sleep and everything, and starting at 11 or 10 p.m. and having to work until the next day until 12 a.m. And then at the weekend, if you work a four-day week, you have to throw your body clock forward, because if you are expected to sleep on a Friday night, then you have to stay up for literally 24 hours almost in order to do it. It's not very good. And also, you know, sleeping requires a lot of tablets, and I don't think it's very healthy.
Explain, Nikki, for people who've not worked nights, just the physical feeling as much as anything. I worked nights for around 7 years, and I know that I constantly just felt sick, quite frankly.
Well, I think it's you know, like most people have the Monday morning feeling, you know, if they go back from the weekend. Well, most of us actually feel at our worst on a Monday morning simply because we have to start work on a Sunday night, which means you wake up at 11 a.m. in the morning, then you have lunch, then, you know, you can't do anything else because at some stage, at about 6 o'clock in the evening, you are going to have to try and catch at least 2 or 3 hours of sleep before you go back to work for 11 p.m. And then you've only had a very little bit of sleep by about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. The tiredness catches up with you, and by the time it gets to about midday, you're feeling very jet-lagged. And then you get home and, well, I don't know, some people try and sleep, you know, sort of like 3 hours first and then wake up for 3 hours and then go back to sleep.
Nikki, the thing I often found was, once you wake up, what meal do you have?
Exactly.
If you wake up in the evening, do you have cereal? Do you have your breakfast or do you have your dinner?
No.
It's all very bizarre.
It's really very odd, because when I first wake up at, like, you know, like 10 p.m. in the evening, I have cereals. At about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I eat lunch, which usually means something heavy. At about lunchtime, just before I go to sleep, I have dinner, though I'm not often very hungry, as it were, but it's sometimes I actually skip one meal simply because I can't figure out how to actually make it work. And then on Friday, that's the worst feeling because I finish work. Yes, I could go to sleep, but then that means I won't be able to sleep that night. So I finish at 11 or 12, and then I stay up the whole day until about 8 o'clock in the evening when I'm ready to drop off. But that's the whole point. I'm trying to, you know...
You're trying to get your body back into kilter, aren't you? Nikki, stay there, because we're joined by Chantal Hughes, who's spokesperson for Employment, Social Affairs and Equal Opportunities at the European Commission. Chantal, Nikki very eloquently painted a picture there of the sort of chaotic life night workers end up facing. This just sounds so incredibly healthy. Shouldn't we just ban this kind of work?
I mean, it's clearly extremely tough, and I think it's very interesting to listen to the real-life example of someone in the hours that they're working and how difficult it is to adjust your lifestyle around it. We can't just ban night work for the obvious reason that, you know, where you'd have a heart attack at 3 in the morning, you might want to have a doctor at your disposal before the morning. And there are lots of professions where night work is essential. For example, the emergency services, be it firemen, doctors, etc. So we can't just ban night work. But we need to ensure that night work is as safe as it is possible to be. And we're quite aware that there are studies which do suggest that there is an increased rate of some illnesses if you do night shifts over a certain amount of time, which is why at a European level things have already been done to protect night workers above people who work day shifts. And further to that, employers have to carry out risk assessments. We have to invest heavily in risk assessments and prevention to ensure that those workers are as healthy and safe as possible.
Nikki, speak to Chantal. Do you feel protected?
No, not at all, because at the end of the day, you know, when we actually get employed, we're being told that night shift is involved. The thing is, there are two fewer daytime shifts if you're working on breakfast television, which means that, you know, they're probably about 3 position on daytime and about 7 or 8 on nighttime, which means about over half of us where I work are sick, or the company is aware that we are. So they try to shift us about so that we will get about 3 months on daytime, just about enough to prevent us from, well, I don't know, from collapsing. I mean, I myself suffered from depression for about 3 months, and the company was very good. They did allow for that, and I was out of work for 3 months. But at the end of the day, it's actually very difficult. You know, you get back and you get onto the night shift, and you sort of, like, endure it. It's not a life. I mean, you know, it's the only way, because obviously people are expected to watch breakfast television, and so somebody has to do the job. But the longer you do this job, you know, over the age of 30, the more difficult it is.
Nikki, let me put this post to you from our blog from Dwight in Cleveland. This is just one of many that we've received throughout the day. You can see them at worldhaveyoursay.com. This lady, talking centrally about the idea of people getting compensation, is the epitome of irresponsibility. Has anyone been forced to work at night? I doubt it. People receive a premium for doing it.
No.
Probably. What next? A soldier's going to be able to get further government compensation once they realise they took a dangerous job. The essence is, no one's forcing you to work at night.
Actually, that's not true. I mean, for 3 years, I mean, just recently, we've started to get night compensation. But what I worked for a while, we weren't given any. I mean, there was an empty bowl. You know, we had to struggle with the management and explain to them that they were expecting us to work nights and we had no night compensation pay. And I said, it's normal in other television stations. And so why are we being treated in that way? The answer we got was, well, just go and look for a different job somewhere else.
OK, Nikki, thank you ever so much for calling in to World Have Your Say from London. If you want to do the same as her, you can call country code 442070 837272. You can email us at worldhaveyoursay@bbc.com. Let's speak to Ulla now. I'm pleased to say we've managed to get on the phone. Ulla Mankop from Denmark. She's received compensation from the Danish government after developing breast cancer. Ulla, thank you for joining us on World Have Your Say. So explain to us how long you work nights and what your job was.
I've been a flight attendant for almost 30 years, and I'm flying both national, international and long-haul flights. Overseas flights. So I work around from 3 to 15 hours a day.
And you developed breast cancer, and you're convinced that that's linked to you working nights?
Yeah, at first I didn't know it. Nobody knows. But after I have talked to various people and the doctors, I can see now that there's a link between breast cancer and working at night.
And if you look back now, if you'd known the risk 30 years ago, would that be a risk that you would have been willing to take, knowing that you might get cancer?
No, definitely not. Maybe I would have done that for a few years flying, but I wouldn't have flying for 30 years because it's if you fly or you work many years night, that can give you breast cancer, but I don't think it will give you if you only work 3 or 4 years.
So, Ulla, you think it's the length of time that you work nights?
Yeah,
if it had only
yeah.
been a few years, then maybe not.
Maybe not, but I don't say every woman don't get breast cancer, but I just want people to really think about it and maybe go to more checks at the doctors for cancer.
Well, let's stay there. I want to bring in Dr. Kat Arney, who is from Cancer Research UK. Yeah. Dr. Arney, thank you for waiting so patiently. You've heard Ulla's story there. Are you convinced by this research?
Well, we've looked at a lot of the research that's been done about shift work and breast cancer in particular. And certainly it's very interesting that her occupation is as a flight attendant, because most of the studies that have been done have looked at very specific occupations, flight attendants being one of them, nurses being another group. And the other thing is that the studies that have been done haven't looked at a lot of what are called confounding factors, so things like other lifestyle factors, reproductive factors, like when people have children, the sort of time of life when women have children. And in the case of flight attendants, we do know that flight attendants are exposed to more radiation over the length of their career as well by being up in the air. And also the studies certainly have shown that it's not just a couple of years of night shifts that may have an impact on your cancer risk. We're sort of talking decades here, 10, 20, 30 years of consistent night shifts. So the evidence is not 100% clear cut and solid, and we certainly do need to do more research into it.
Ulla, speak to Dr. Arney. Are you convinced by what she's saying there could be other factors, whether it's lifestyle or genetic, or she was even talking there about exposure to radiation?
Is it me you talk to?
Yes, Ulla, yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, that could be exposure to radiation too, because we're very exposed when flying over the poles, the North Poles and the South Poles. But I think it's the working at night that creates some hormone instability or whatever you call it in the body. You don't produce melatonin during the night when you are awake, and melatonin is a hormone who inhibits the growth of cancer cells. So it's very important to sleep at night.
So, Dr. Arney, do you think that Ulla was lucky to get compensation from the Danish government? It sounds like you're not totally convinced by this science.
It's not really a question of lucky or not. You know, that's what the Danish government has decided, and that's according to their employment law. So that's, you know, it's perfectly fair that she's been compensated. It's interesting what she said about melatonin. This is a hormone that you do produce when you sleep in the dark. And it is very important. And it's certainly, we're not saying that there is no link. Studies have shown that there is probably a link between breast cancer and working at night, and it's something that we really need to unpick, because it's not 100% certain, but we do need to work out more about it. And certainly studying the link between melatonin and cancer, again, there are some missing links in our knowledge between how do night shifts affect your melatonin, and then how does that affect your risk of cancer. So it's very difficult to talk about just one person's experience as well, because we really need to try and do more research on large groups of people to really answer these questions.
I mean, we obviously don't want to panic people listening to this programme. If people are night workers out of necessity, you work for Cancer Research UK. What do you think they should be doing or could be doing to protect themselves?
It would be our advice for any woman that's concerned about their breast cancer risk. You can talk to your doctor. The main thing is just to be aware of your body and what's normal for you. If you notice anything wrong, any changing, any lumps, bumps, funny rashes, discharge, get straight along to the doctor, because those are the key signs that you can look out for to maintain your health. And also, if you're in a country where there's a screening program or you have the option of breast cancer screening, certainly make sure you take that up, that invitation up for screening.
Shamila is on the line from Mumbai. You used to work at a call centre, Shamila, and obviously therefore work nights.
Yes, Tupa, thank you. Good evening. I was working in the call centre as a server also, and on the management level. So, referring to the call centre industry here in Mumbai, I can say that when the call centre industry started way back in 99, we had first the US process coming in, then the UK, Euro, Australia, with different time zones. So to summarize, I can just say that particularly if I talk about women, in India, we women have to manage families, whether we have worked in night or day shifts, does not matter to people staying in joint families. And my colleagues who had children or were married in joint families had to go back home in the morning and look after their kids, send them to school and look after the entire family. So inadequate sleep has resulted in a lot of psychological, medical and social problems, transport problems, where they don't receive any compensation for working in nights also. Psychologically, it is difficult to adjust to different work timings and to look and take care after the needs of the family. So there's guilt involved, which becomes the root cause of all problems related to stress and trauma. Now, medically erratic eating habits and cafeteria food results in gastronomic problems, ulcers, migraines, and as we discussed earlier, melatonin not being produced by the body by not sleeping in the dark. Yeah, then people take prescribed medicines to deal with all these things, which cascades into a series of medical illnesses.
So Shamila and also Ulla, I'd be interested, as two people who have worked nights, what do you think should be done to protect night workers? What are we talking about that could be genuinely implemented that is going to help people and possibly protect them from future illness?
Here the question on your blog is really pertinent, that if employees are killing you by making you work nights. I think the need here is to sensitize workers regarding issues and their night working in nights, particularly regarding and related to health. It's time to just stretch our necks and treat the problem here before it literally becomes a cancer for our workers worldwide who are working in night shifts. So, and also we need to deal with social problems, you know, because due to late night working, you know, people get socially disconnected from others and get stuck in a routine life. This leads to depression and leads to usage of alternate illegal entertainment, medicines. Now, as we were talking earlier also, Krupa, that the management at different organizations have heard and learned to and tried to create a friendly environment for employees. Mm. Like we were discussing earlier, like a full-fledged cafeteria, gymnasiums, club memberships, you know, stress buster rooms, shy areas, crèches for mothers.
So you almost try to compensate people for having to work nights. Ulla, what do you think? What do you think companies or governments should be doing to help protect the rights and the health of night workers?
I think information is the best way of protection. I think the woman should be informed that there is a possible risk, but that not all people get breast cancer, and they should go and have their regular check of the screening of the breast regularly. I think that's the best way to pretend it, because people have to work nights, of course. They do. We have to fly in the air. We have to have doctors and nurses and military personnel. You need all those people, but you can do something yourself. You can go to regular checks.
Okay, well, Ulla, thank you very much for joining us from Denmark. We're going to take a quick break for the latest BBC World News, and then we'll carry on the conversation.
You heard the news from the BBC. Now it's your turn. Call us on country code 44 20 70 83 72 72. Welcome. The world have your say.
Hello, I'm Chloe Tilley. A link between long-term night work and breast cancer has led the Danish government to pay out compensation to women who've developed the disease. It sets a precedent and raises questions about how companies who need night workers should operate. So are employers killing you by making you work nights? Anthony in LA has posted on the blog, I'd like to see those reports. Most people I know who have night jobs aren't the healthiest people in the first place. If they can sue for that, why not just say it's dangerous for women and not hire any women? That sounds perfectly fair to me. And Archibald in Oregon, listening on APB, says maybe requiring some upgrades in the overall work environment would help. Full spectrum lighting to reduce the fatigue on eyes and body from the usual flickering fluorescent light. Standard issuance of vitamin D supplements to all night shift employees, etc. This and other precautions would probably be more cost effective than just giving out compensation. So are you a night worker? Do you feel you're risking your health for the sake of your job? And what if you're an employer where night work is essential? Are you responsible if someone in your workforce develops cancer? We're here for the next half an hour taking your calls, texts and tweets. And you can, of course, post at the blog worldhaveyoursay.com.
Here's a number for the address book on your phone. SMS, text, World Have Your Say on country code 4477 86 20 60 80.
Still with us is Chantal Hughes, spokesperson for Employment, Social Affairs and Equal Opportunities at the European Commission, and Dr. Kat Arney from Cancer Research UK. In a moment, we'll go to Usman, who is on the line from Pakistan, and Merriman, who's on the line from Portland, Oregon. But first, Chantal and Dr. Arney, just respond to that post there from Archibald in Oregon, talking about basically upgrading the work environment. What sort of difference would that make to people's health in the workplace? What do you think, Dr. Arney?
Well, it's certainly clear that even if the evidence isn't 100% strong on cancer risk and night work, there is clear evidence that working nights is bad for your health in other ways. And I think certainly here the Health and Safety Executive does raise fatigue as a major issue with night workers. And obviously we heard earlier from someone's very from-the-heart experience of their health issues with night work. I think that certainly in terms of cancer risk, there's more work that we do need to do about the role of vitamin D and cancer. Which is obviously, it's a vitamin that's made by sunlight, exposing your skin to sunlight. So if people are chronically working nights and chronically not getting enough vitamin D exposure, then they may actually be vitamin deprived and may need supplements. So that's something to think about. And also the studies that have certainly been done have shown that it's very long-term night work, sort of 10, 20, 30 years of consistent nights. So perhaps employers should maybe look at limiting the amount of time employees can work for nights and not penalising them for that.
Do you agree with that, Chantal?
I think they all sound like sensible suggestions. That very much our focus is always on prevention and precautionary measures, which is why employers have to carry out this risk assessment to determine what are the risks they're imposing on their workers and how to counteract those risks. We can't eliminate all risk, but we can reduce it. So things like ensuring proper time off, regular health checks, etc., will all help to reduce the kinds of health and safety problems which workers can encounter if they are doing night shifts.
The problem is, Chantal, sometimes the sort of people who are working these shifts are vulnerable people, they're poor people, they're young people. They don't necessarily know their rights. They're just grateful to have a job. Maybe they want to get on. It's all very well having these things in place, but people don't necessarily know those rights.
I mean, that's obviously a problem across the board, that very often workers don't know the rights they're entitled to, and that's not just with health and safety, that's with discrimination, pay, etc., and it's always essential that these workers do know. Some of the things which are compulsory at a European level, for example, for anyone doing a night shift, is that you have to have, you are entitled to a free health assessment before you start your night shifts. And after that, you're entitled to health checks on a regular basis. Also, if you have a problem which seems to be linked to doing night shifts, and the employer has a duty to try and see if they can move you to day work. So on top of workers and their rights and asserting their rights, there are obligations on employers, and we need to ensure that employers are properly doing their bit.
OK, Chantal Hughes, thank you very much for joining us from Belgium, spokesman from the European Commission. Also, thank you to Dr. Kat Arney from Cancer Research UK. I know that you have to leave us too. Let's go in a moment to Merriman, who's in Portland, Oregon. But first, Usman, who's called us in from Pakistan on country code 442070 83 72 72. Usman, what would you like to say?
Yeah, I am a medical student from Leicester Medical College in first year MBBS. So the previous points which you were asking, which you were just saying that that most of people are unaware of the consequences which they are doing. But I would like to say here that I belong to a poor family. I have to just fulfill my family's expenses as well as I have to continue my studies. So I am well aware of the fact that it can lead to different sort of problems, health problems, etc. sort of things. But I am forced to do this. Otherwise, I can't just carry on my studies. I have to go in 15 minutes to the night shift here at 12. It's going to be at 12 in the morning in Pakistan here, 12 a.m. in 15 minutes. So I will go to the garment factory where I will sew the different sweaters, jerseys, etc. sort of things. Then I will come from there at 4 in the morning, and then I will sleep, and then I'll again go to the college at 8 in the morning. So it's just sort of a puzzling life for me. But what can I do instead of this? If I just...
Well, Usman, I don't want to keep you from work. You've got to go to work in, 15 minutes' time. You're saying there that you're going to work from midnight till 4 a.m., then get up at 8 a.m. to continue your studies. And you raise a really interesting point, and something that's come up time and time again on the blog throughout the day, that many people are forced into doing this through financial necessity. Just answer me this, Usman, before I let you go. For you, you know the risks. It obviously concerns you. But would you be happier to carry on working nights if you were paid a lot more money to sort of compensate for that risk?
Actually, I am doing something good for myself. I'm doing something good for my family. I'm keeping on my studies. I'm keeping on my main aim in my life. If I will just give this job up, then how can I just proceed further in my life? That will not be a good and justified answer for this, which you are asking from me.
Okay, well, Usman, best of luck. I hope your night shift isn't too grim. Usman on the line from Pakistan. Let's go to Merriman, who called from Portland, Oregon. What's the point you'd like to make?
I just wanted to make a point that a lot of single mothers I know especially have to work at night. And even if they do have rights, a lot of employers will discriminate in such a way that you really don't know it's discrimination. What do you do in a case like that? Let's say if somebody knows that you are predisposed to cancer and you put that on the form, will you get hired? And how much can you depend on the social system?
Well, Merriman, respond to this text, which has come in from Julius in Monrovia. Short and sweet, if you don't like night shifts, don't do it. Get over it.
Well, how can you when you have a family to support? You have healthcare bills, food to put on the table. You have maybe one kid or two kids or maybe more. You have to feed them. What do you do? Who will take care of them during the day? You know, you don't have a tree that's filled with money where you can just go out and do whatever you want. You have to work, and this is the only job you can get. You have to take your child to school in the morning.
So what's the answer, Merriman?
My answer is, you know, my answer would be you have to do what you have to do. And if that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. And maybe we do need a support system where we can help each other out.
So we just have to gamble with our health.
I don't see another point of view. I mean, I don't see another way. I mean, there are other points of view, but what other way is there? I mean, here you have kids and you have to take care of them during the day and you have a night job. So your sister comes in and helps you at night, or your mother comes in and helps you at night with your children and she sleeps with them. You go and you work. Then you get up in the morning. You know, you come home, you take your children to school, you take a few hours of nap, sleep, then you're back to picking up your kids, trying to spend some time with them, and then you're back at work. What do? You have no choice.
So is the answer then maybe that we just make young people do night shifts? We just say for a shorter period of time, young people who have more energy and are less likely to have children or family responsibilities, they should do the night work, and it enables older people and people with families not to do it.
That would be wonderful. That is such a great thing to do, have younger people do that with more energy. And
might not be great for the young people.
It would be. And they would love it. A And then the older people can somehow work during the day.
I have to say, Merriman, I started doing night shifts when I was 23, and I'm not sure loving it was quite my position on that. But thank you for getting in touch. If you want to do the same as Merriman, if you want to call us, you can on country code 44 20 70 83 72 72. We've had an email in from David Huffman from Washington. As an ENT physician, I was self-employed. That is no longer the case for most physicians. In my small community, I was on call every other night for years. I didn't keep track of how often I got a call in the middle of the night, or several phone calls in the middle of the night, or even a trip to the emergency room. We take for granted these responsibilities of a physician, and we do no research on them. In addition, most of us have to work the next day as if we had not been on a night shift. Let's speak to Aziz, who is in Bahrain. He texted in and we called him back. Aziz, what's your point?
Yeah, hi. I've been a journalist for the past, like, 7 years, and seven or eight years. I was, like, a journalist in Pakistan before I shifted to Bahrain. And the thing is that, I mean, night shift affects everyone, not just women. I mean, your program is mostly on women get breast cancer and all. I mean, though breast cancer is, the chances are very rare in men. But I've seen that my colleague, including me, see, first of all, me, I've lost weight. I'm 30, and I'm under 50 kg. And I've tried my best to gain weight, but the thing is that I couldn't figure it out. And I went to doctors and all, and doctors said that you're A-okay. I mean, so the thing when and then recently I shifted to the morning job. I was with a newspaper, then I shifted to a magazine. Now, slowly and gradually, things are changing. So now, after 7 years, I figured it out that perhaps the night job was the cause that, of my problems. And not just me, my colleagues, some of them are like have contact diabetes, some have like stress problems, some have taken excessive smoking, some even have taken up drinking liquor and all.
But Aziz, how do you know that I'm just... you know, putting forward some of the views that have come in through the day on email and on the blog. How do you know that people wouldn't have developed these conditions if they'd worked normal hours?
Because I've seen people. I see my brothers. They work in morning jobs and they have no such problems. They're all healthy. I mean, they're all fit. So I'm the odd one out in the family. So that's the way I figured it out. And I mean, most of the world works morning and. We journalists and some other people with other jobs, they work at night, and obviously this happens, you know. It's a personal experience.
And what do you say to people who say, well, you don't have to work nights, it's your choice, you could get another job?
Yeah, that is our choice, but I mean, I have a suggestion. You know what companies or what newspapers or what are the factories and all they could do is that they could probably, you know, like... put up some indoor games and all, just release the stress. The main thing is that you have to divert your attention from stress. And the thing is that, science has proven that, I mean, to divert from stress, you have to take up, like, for example, games and all. At night shift, you cannot take games, and like all things are closed at night, all playgrounds and all gyms and all. So what companies could do is that they could, like, perhaps set up indoor games for their employees and just divert their attention. That could help a bit. I mean, I don't know if that's scientifically proven or not, but that's my suggestion. I mean...
Well, it's interesting you say that, because we had a caller on earlier on from Mumbai, call centre worker, who was saying that at the call centre she used to work at, that's exactly what did happen. They had a gym open, they had various different things that would, in a way, compensate people for working nights. But she was saying that people didn't really fancy it at night, and come the morning, they just wanted to go home, so it never got used.
Well, I mean, true, you cannot substitute the night with the day with the night. The sleep at night is like just getting 6 hours of sleep at night is more than getting 11 hours in the day. I used to sleep 11, 12 hours in the day and still couldn't get enough. Now I sleep 6 hours and I am fresh. So that is true, but I mean...
Okay, well, Aziz, stay there. I want to bring in Mohammed, who is on the line from Mogadishu in Somalia, and also Rianne, who joins us from California. Mohammed, what would you like to say?
Oh, good to speak to you, dear BBC. This is Mohammed. Ahmed calling from Somalia and Mogadishu.
Hello, Mohammed. What would you like to say?
I would like to say that the night work is very bad. For me, I have been working for a communication company in Somalia, which is called Telcom. I have been working in the night time. I was a duty officer at the night, beginning from 7 in the evening up to 12 or 1 o'clock in the midnight. Therefore, night work is very difficult, and everybody could feel how it damages your health. And
so, Mohammed, you say that you're working from 7 o'clock at night till 1 o'clock in the morning, where you work for a communications company. It makes you feel very bad. Why do you do it? Why don't you go and get a job where you don't have to work nights?
Oh, that is great. Well, I have been working for that hours at the company, and I have no another work to do. That was my... It is compulsory to do that work for me, and I was satisfied, although I don't have any other work that I can do. So it is better for me to do any kind of it, but I'm telling you that to work in the nighttime is very dangerous. The health, and nobody can work. In my decision, I would like to say, let the people sleep in the night time and work the daytime.
can I interrupt a moment, please?
Of course it is.
Yeah, I mean, see, I don't think that some people do not have the choice to change jobs. Like me, I've been like 7-8 years in journalism. Now for me to switch to another field is going to be like starting all over again, and particularly in this, these signs of recession, I don't think that's going to be a very prudent kind of thing. So,
but Aziz, you work in journalism. You could work not on an overnight shift. You wouldn't have to change your career, would you?
No, I have. But see, that would be in magazines. For example, I work in newspaper. That's more rewarding than working in magazines. You understand that now. If I switch to a magazine or another publication that goes in the morning, it might not pay me that much as newspapers might. So then again, that's an economic issue. Get the point.
I understand. Thank you, Mohammed in Mogadishu, and also Aziz on the line from Bahrain. Let's bring in Richard Derwent-Cook, who is in the UK, as well as Rianne in California. Rianne, you were a nurse for, was it 10 years?
I worked on the night shift for 10 years. I worked as a nurse for 20. And I worked at night, actually, because I'm a widow and I had a child in school, and it was better for me to be home at those certain hours in the daytime. And I've had the feeling that it might be bad for my health, because I really noticed, my memory wasn't as good. I would have to do very simple things on the days after I worked. I had some experience with biofeedback, and I know something about that, so I was really paying attention and was more sensitive to the idea of stress lowering, depressing the immune system. So I was sensitive to it, but after about 10 years, I got a sign in that I got pneumonia, and another job came up for another shift, and I took it, and then right after that, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And there's no history of cancer in my family, and I was puzzled why I got it. Some years later, now I have actually stopped nursing. It was, very stressful for me. Not everyone feels that way, but it was for me in ICU.
Well, Rianne, stay there, because I want to bring in Richard Derwent-Cook, who is from iChange, which is a UK company which aims to change current business practices. Richard, I don't know how many of those calls you heard, but we heard from Mohammed in Mogadishu, we heard from Aziz in Bahrain, we heard from Rianne in California, each of them talking about actually they didn't have a lot of choice. They had to work nights for one reason or another. Do you think that businesses are taking this seriously, or just saying workers really just have to put up with it?
No, I honestly don't think they're taking it very seriously. I think we might be looking back on this as the 21st century equivalent of sending little boys up chimneys. If you think about it, out in Africa, there are people having to walk 3 hours just to get a jug of water, and we look at that and go, isn't that dreadful, isn't that dreadful? But we're doing something equivalent with all of these night workers now. And I think it was Miraman who said, well, you've got to do what you've got to do. And in the end, that's true. You have to look after your family, you have to pay the bills. But we're responsible jointly for a society that exploits people in this way, and we need to get it on the agenda that this isn't the way we want to treat people.
So what's the answer? I mean, I said to Aziz there that, you know, working as a journalist, you don't have to work nights. But Rianne, who's on the line from California, as a nurse, we need nurses to work 24 hours. So what is the answer?
Well, I think it's something around giving people a more genuine choice. I think perhaps having younger people doing it might be part of an answer. Monitoring total time doing it might be an answer. I think that collectively we've just got to put more attention in this. Until this is important, it won't be resolved. And the problem is it's a hidden problem at the moment, so it's not on the agenda.
Rianne, do you agree with Richard?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that part of the programme.
Well, Richard is basically saying that it's not being taken seriously enough. Companies aren't taking this seriously enough. He thinks this could be a massive problem and more needs to be done to protect workers' rights. But the reality is, I was putting to Richard, is people like yourself who were nurses, we need nurses 24 hours a day. So what is the answer?
Yes, possibly having younger nurses do it for 3 or 4 years and then have someone else do the job for a while.
Is that fair, though? Make young people carry the can?
Well, I would have done it. I mean, I could see doing it and choosing that because I would feel the risk would be low enough that it would be worth it.
Richard?
I think people have got to make their own individual choices and look at what they get from it and what it costs them. But I really think that this is a bigger issue than one person can solve. If I'm a working mum and I've got a family to feed, I'm going to take it if that's all that's on offer. But the fact is, if we create a society and a workplace where we're looking out for each other, we can resolve this kind of issue. It's not something that one person or one company can solve.
Let me read you this post from JP on the blog. He's in Oregon. Making you work? The last time I checked, people who work nights made that choice for themselves. The real question is whether or not employers are recklessly endangering their staff by having them work at night. There's been little or no talk about the dangers of working late, and so I doubt that companies would be found guilty in a lawsuit. This is not the same as having people work with asbestos when it's clear there is a danger. Rianne?
Well, like I said, nurses do need, there are certain things that do need to keep going at night. I don't have an answer right now.
Richard?
If you read the article, it says that this is only one step down from working with things like with asbestos, but I do agree that this isn't in the public domain and it's only really just coming out. So I don't think we can hold people accountable for what's happened in the past. What I think we can do is go, now people know about it, what are we going to do? And it's got to be a response that's based on treating people like people, not treating people like disposable resources.
Let's bring in Augustine, who texted in. Augustine is in Cyprus. What's the point you want to make?
My point is because there was a report over BBC last week also about breast cancer that... when women, when they take a glass of wine after a meal, they will develop breast cancer, if I'm right. So this time again, they are saying that when women work at night, they will still develop breast cancer. So I start, and all these reports, because from what I heard, it was just like, it was not, they were not conclusive. So because the person who was saying it said they still have to carry out further studies. So if they still have to carry out further studies, they should allow women to work and not scare them because, you know, something, breast cancer is something that it scares women a lot because I had a girlfriend before. She had a lump in her breast and she was afraid. She went and did a test. She was not even sure that it was breast cancer. She started crying, you see. So I'm also afraid they should really allow women to do what they want. That's my point.
It's an interesting point, Augustine. And, Richard, I suppose there is a danger here that it is only could develop breast cancer. And we don't want people to start panicking because they're working nights, that this is definitely going to happen. We've got to keep this in proportion, haven't we?
I think that's exactly right. And I don't think this is about getting too excited. And for me, it's not about this one report, serious as it is and sad as it is for people who it affects. I think it's about going... It's working well, nights night, working
for
people.
They can rotate them. They can work maybe for 2 days at night, then 2 days during the day, you understand? Maybe that can reduce the risk a bit.
I think they've said, though, that that is actually more difficult and more stressful for people to keep switching like that. We've heard from some people who've said it's much easier on them if they're able to stick to a steady shift pattern.
Augustine in Cyprus, Rhianne in California, and also Richard Derwent-Cook from iChange, a UK company. Thank you very much for joining us. A text in from Melissa from Malawi. She's a student nurse. She says she's very worried about night shifts and the impact on her health and may actually decide to change her mind. Well, thank you for all your texts, calls and emails as ever. You can carry on the conversation at the blog worldhaveyoursay.com and give us about an hour's time and you can download today's programme as a podcast. Thanks a lot for listening. Take care and I'll speak to you soon.